It's okay. You can keep on praising him. Amen. He's a way maker. He is a miracle worker. He is a promise keeper. That is who God is. And we are grateful this morning that we serve such an amazing God. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God another hand clap of praise in the house. Just look at somebody, tell him he's a way maker. He's a way maker. Look at somebody else, tell him he's a miracle worker. He's a miracle. You found one more person and tell him he's a promise keeper. Amen, amen, amen. That ought to got somebody happy, amen. That ought to spoke to somebody's spirit, amen. Anybody here need a miracle worker? Anybody here need God to make a way out of no way? Anybody here need God to hold to the promises that he said he would do for us? Amen. So I hope somebody gets inspired, somebody is encouraged this morning, somebody's spirits are lifted up just with that reflection and that remembrance of who we serve. God is a good God. God, not only is he a good God, but God is a God that loves his children. We are God's children. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm God's child. You better watch how you talk about me, because I'm God's child. You know, I learned that from my father, Brother Orlando Lee. You can say whatever you want to about my father. You can speak it to his face. You can speak it behind his back. He's going to let it roll off. It ain't going to affect him. He is not put in a place because of what people say about him. But be very clear. If you ever around my daddy, please don't put your name on me. Please don't put your words of negativity on my brother. Please don't say nothing bad about my mama. Amen. Because as much as he will let stuff roll off of him, don't talk about his family. Amen. I just need you to understand that that's the same way God deals with us, that there are folks that put their mouth on us, putting stuff out about us, and God is saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets and prophetesses no harm, that God sees everything you go through, and God is still God, because he's what? A way maker, and he's what? He's a promise keeper. He's what? A miracle worker. Amen. That is who God is. Grab your neighbor by the hand as we go to God in prayer. God, we thank you, God. We are grateful this morning, God, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your love, your understanding, your power. God, we are grateful just for who you are for us and in us and with us and through us. God, we thank you, God, that we don't deserve it. But for whatever reason, God, you still keep on blessing us. You still keep on making ways for us. You still keep providing miracles for us, God. You still keep on, God, keeping your promises that you've given us. God, we thank you, God. We serve an amazing and awesome God, and we are just grateful. Now, God, in this moment, God, ask God that you would touch, minister, move, encourage, save, deliver, heal, God, in the name of Lord Jesus, wherever it is, your God, your people, your children stand in need of. God, I just pray, God, that you would provide it in this moment. It's in Jesus' name, God, we want to say thank you. In Jesus' name, let everybody say amen, amen. Come on, give God another hand clap of praise in the house. It is good to see you. Welcome to the Hope Happy Hour. Those who are watching online, God bless you. Great to see you this morning. We also want to thank God, amen. We want to thank God that our pastor is back, amen. Look at somebody, tell him hallelujah, amen. Amen. You know how when your kids go off to school, y'all be screaming and yelling and hollering like, yeah, yeah, thank you, God. Back to school. Amen. That's how I am this morning. Yeah, thank you, God. Pastor's back. Amen. And so we want to thank God. If you can, this would be a great time to do two services. Amen. He will be back at 10 o'clock. And I know he's coming back on fire because he has had an opportunity to get some rest. Also want to thank God for our musicians. We have three musicians that play for us who are also a part of Black Alley. Amen. We want to thank God for our drummer. We want to thank God for, I'm just going to call him a stage name, Animal. Amen. We want to thank God for Animal. We want to thank God for Josh. We want to thank God for Paul Anthony. Amen. They are part of Black Alley, and they went to the house of Prince. Amen. There you go. Come on, man. They got to see you, brother. They went to that house of Prince. Amen. And what was the name of it again? Musicology 2017. How many bands was it that were there? 150 submitted. It was 150 submitted. 9 were picked. How many champions are they allowed to have? Only one, right? Only one. Who won that thing at Prince House? Come on, y'all give it up for Black Alley. Yes, indeedy. Congratulations. Amen, amen. Matter of fact, it was like 3 weeks ago before y'all left, and you told me, and we said, we believe that, man. We believe it. We prayed that thing like it's coming, and they won that thing. Amen. Representing the DMV. Amen. Holding that thing down. Amen. We want to thank God. If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, 24th verse. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. New Testament. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, 24th verse. Reading 24 through 27. And it says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? I know that's right. We just a Black Alley. Only one receives the prize. Amen. So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. And really looking at verse 24, do you not know that in a race all the runners run? I want to preach this morning, if you don't mind. I want to preach on this second Sunday. I want to preach on this second Sunday of September. I'm going to preach from the sermon topic, Winning as the Underdog. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm winning as the underdog. Amen, amen, amen. I don't know about you, but I've learned over the years, not just of ministry, but just over the years of my life, that many times one of our greatest challenges as people is that we count ourselves out of things before we even count ourselves in. We talk ourselves out of receiving blessings. We talk ourselves out of winning victories because it appears that things are sometimes unfairly stacked against us. We look at our past failures as indicators for future losses. We aren't always confident in our abilities or convinced of our skill sets that we have what is necessary to win. We can see everybody else around us winning. We can support everyone else's dreams, and we can assist in everyone else's purpose, but it doesn't always translate that way in our own lives. We see God working in family members, and we see God working in friends, and we see God even working in our enemies. But we don't always see how God's hand is moving on us. We are everyone else's number one cheerleader. We are their number one fan. But we find it sometimes difficult to encourage and to motivate our own selves to our victories. And then when we look at the Bible, we see that the Bible even uses a sports illustration to help us see our ability to come in first place. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may win. Even God shares with us that we all are in this race, and the goal for us in our race of life is never to quit or give up on the goal to win. But God wants all of us to win. Look at somebody, tell them God wants you to win. That's that God wants you to win. And I remember one day I was sitting with an older gentleman, and he said to me, he said, a horse that stops in the middle of the race will never finish the race. I know. It sounds so simple, and it makes so much sense. It seems like something that was really just a 2+2 kind of philosophy. Of course, if a horse stops in the middle of the race, it won't finish the race. But many of us, many of the things that God has for us, many of the victories that God has already given us, the truth is that many of us are like the horse that stops in the middle of the race, that we will never experience what God has for us because we continue to stop in the middle of our race. We keep telling ourselves that we don't have what it takes to win and to believe in the victories that God has for us. And being the underdog is not an excuse to quit. That means even when it appears that we are set up to lose, don't have all that our opponent may have, that dropping out or withdrawing from the race is still not an option for us as Christians. We've got to finish what we started. Why? Because God has always, hear this, been on the side of the underdog, because that is when God is most visible. God works best with those who have challenges that seem unbeatable, obstacles that seem unsurmountable, and situations that seem unconquerable. God gets excited when we feel like we don't have what it takes, because God knows he has exactly what we need. God sometimes purposely chooses and picks the underdog. Moses did not want to tell Pharaoh to let God's people go because Moses was an underdog. Gideon told God, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest and I'm the least in my father's house, because Gideon was an underdog. King Saul did not believe David had the experience to beat a giant named Goliath because David was an underdog. But in all of these biblical stories, and in so many more, the underdog always ended on top. Whenever you saw God with the underdog always won. I'm just trying to help somebody this morning that came in feeling like the underdog, feeling incapable, feeling inexperienced, feeling incompetent, feeling inadequate. I'm just trying to help somebody this morning understand that being the underdog is sometimes the best position for you to be in. Because although no one expects you to win, God can and will use you to get the glory out of what you're going through. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, 27th verse says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. In other words, God will use us as the underdog just to prove a point to the world. Look at somebody, tell them, I don't mind being an underdog. And this past week, I've been drawn to these stories in sports where we see those who are considered the underdogs winning. Those that no one expected to come out victorious or end up on the winning side. Those that everyone was betting against because the odds seemed to be stacked up against them. Those that many would say that didn't have a chance to finish on top due to their lack of experience or their lack of giftedness or their lack of skill set. But in the midst of the obstacles and adversity, they found a way to do what no one else believed they could do. They found a way to win. I believe there's something we can learn from these stories, something that can help us as Christians to push through, that even though you may feel like an underdog, that you can win as the underdog. The first thing I believe we learn from some of these stories, the first thing is that your last fumble is not your last play. Sometimes the thing that keeps us from believing we can win is our past fumbles, our past mistakes. We can't seem to shake off what happened yesterday that keeps us from believing that we can actually win today. So while others are making moves, we are sitting back. While others are taking chances, we're the ones who are playing it safe. While others are putting their faith to the test, we're keeping our faith locked up in the closets of both our fears and our failures. But something I learned on this past week is that your last fumble is not your last play. It was during the New England Patriots versus Kansas City Chiefs football game. There's a brother by the name of Kareem Hunt, rookie running back for the Kansas City Chiefs, who was a third round pick in the 2017 NFL draft. And on his first play, he fumbled the ball over to the New England Patriots. And what made this even more tough was that while he was at Toledo University for 4 years, he never fumbled. But on his first play of the game, on the major stage, the first NFL game of the season, the first opportunity he had to prove himself, he fumbled during prime time. Woo! Something he knew is that his last fumble would not be his last play. And so he rebounded from that mistake. He rushed for 148 yards, 98 yards receiving, and accumulated 3 touchdowns that helped him beat the defending champions on their home field. That had not happened in Belichick's era. In the process, he also set an NFL record with 246 scrimmage yards for a player in his first career game. When they asked him after the game, said, "What did you tell yourself after you fumbled?" He said, "I just had to forget about it." Look at somebody, tell him, just forget about it. That's what I believe someone needs to hear this morning. That your last stumble isn't your last play. Your last mistake wasn't your last chance. Your last failure wasn't your last opportunity. And all you can do is forget about it and keep on moving and keep on pushing and keep on hustling to your next victory. You can't continue to hold on to your past faults and mess ups. But all you can do is learn and let it go. Look at somebody, tell them, I got to let that thing go. What running back Hunt reminded us is that fumbles don't dictate the game, but it's how we respond to the fumbles that determine our outcomes. Paul said it like this: "I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining towards what's ahead." What's ahead of you is not defined by what's behind you. What your future looks like isn't determined by your past. God gives us new possibilities and prospects and promises that are part of his purpose and his plan. That as long as I got God on my side, that my last fumble will not be my last play. Look at somebody, tell them, I may have fumbled yesterday, but I got a touchdown in my view this morning. I may have messed up yesterday, but I'm going to win as the underdog today. Your last fumble isn't your last play. If you're going to win as the underdog, you got to tell yourself, my last fumble, my last. Tell yourself, say, my last fumble. It's not my last play. Look, I need you to get that in your spirit. I don't know who I'm talking to, because you've been going around, keep telling yourself how you messed up and what you did and why God can't use you. But you got to remind yourself that if you can remind yourself of what you did, that means that's your past. And the past is the past. You need to talk to your present and tell yourself that that won't hold me back. I will be all that God has called me to be. My last stumble is not going to be my last. Look at somebody, tell me, you about to break a record. You don't even realize it. Don't be gun shy. You about to break a record. Second thing, if you're going to win as the underdog, you got to remind yourself that it's all about the coach. Look at somebody, tell them it's all about the coach. Okay. The second sports story that took place last week was from an HBCU, also my alma mater, Howard University. HU? There it is. I got some in the house. Last Saturday, Howard University football team played against the University of Las Vegas in Las Vegas. Although Howard University was a 45-point underdog. Let me say that again. They were a 45-point underdog and had only a 1.2% chance of winning. Good God. Lord have mercy. I said they had a 1.2% chance of winning. Okay, let me, because y'all ain't get that. They had a 98.8% chance to lose. That anything that said 98% is pretty much guaranteed. That's what it say to rapper. Y'all ain't feeling me this morning. It's all good. Try to play it safe. That's all I'm saying. That's what I believe that we have to realize, in the sense that what makes the win even more of a long shot is that Howard University had only won 3 out of 22 games in the last 2 seasons. So they end up going to UNLV with a record of 3 wins and 19 losses in 2 seasons to play against a team in which they are a 45-point underdog, and they won 43-40. The spread, I'm talking to somebody, was so large that if you put down $100 for Howard University, y'all gonna get mad, you would have won $55,000. Look at y'all. Don't go gambling. I'm just telling you. Look at somebody, tell them, bet on yourselves. And if you ask the players of HU what is different this year, they will tell you it's their new coach, Mike London, and his new philosophy, Mission Possible. He has told his players from day one that what is impossible with man is always possible with God. He has changed not only the culture of HU football, but he has also helped change the mindset of the players. The reason we can win as the underdog is because all of us have a new coach. Colossians 1:21 says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. In other words, we were constantly losing races in our lives because we had the wrong coach. But when we decided to make Jesus our choice, we changed who our coach was. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, so then if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What is old has passed away. Look, what is new has come. Every day is a day for Christ to do a new thing. Something we've never seen before, but something that is more than possible. God wants us to break records. God wants us to win. God wants us to accomplish what is impossible without him, but is more than possible with him. We are God's children. He wants to see us win. Our winning isn't because of who we are, but it's because of the coach we've got on the sidelines with us. Deuteronomy 24 says, "For the Lord our God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory." 1 John 5:4 says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Joshua 10:8 says, "Don't be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them would be able to withstand you." I'm just trying to get you to understand that when God is your coach, how do you know God is your coach? Because you're here. If God wasn't your coach, you wouldn't get up in the morning. You wouldn't come to church. But if God is your coach, then you can always win as the underdog. Look at somebody, tell them, "God's my coach." Last thing is this. Last thing, if you're going to win as the underdog, you have to tell yourself that their rank isn't your rank. Somebody already know where I'm going. Their rank of you is not your rank of you. Yesterday, I was watching. As a matter of fact, I watched her all this week. It's the story of African-American female tennis player Sloane Stephens. Yesterday, she was in her first Grand Slam final of her career after an 11-month layoff and surgery on her foot that she thought she might not be able to even come back from. 3 months ago, she was in a boot. And when she returned to play in Wimbledon in August, she was ranked number 934 in the world. Now, I ain't no scientist, but I even think I could have got to at least 850. I ain't played a lick of tennis, but she is ranked number 934. Y'all heard me correctly, but after only a month back playing, she is now ranked number 15. Having won 15 of her last 17 matches, and on yesterday, this black girl not only made it to the U.S. Open Finals, but she won her first Grand Slam. Just a year ago, she had dropped out of the U.S. Open due to her injury. And a year later, she wins the title in the event she dropped out of last year. The reason we sometimes find it difficult to win our race is because we believe the rank that others have given us. We allow others to define us in their own terms or in relation to what they want us to be. We do it to others and others do it to us. It's part of human nature. If we define each other, we can easily categorize each other. We can neatly place each other in boxes that we've created for each other. But the issue is when we allow people to label us and put tags on us, that those labels and tags have the potential to stick on us. It allows others to find comfort in trying to form us into what they want or need us to be for their own personal motives and their own personal reasons. But when you let someone else rank you, it keeps you from believing in the rank that God has already given you. When we accept other ranks, we are never able to reach our true potential of what God desires for us. But it's when we denounce the definitions of others that we strive in confidence to the definition God has already given us. It's when we accept the definition of our maker that we find our truest opportunity to become our best version of ourselves through Christ Jesus. If Sloane Stephens acted according to her rank, she would always be at the bottom. She would always be defeated. She would always be last. She would have never ascended to the U.S. Open Finals game. But because she did not accept the rank that they gave her, she played at the rank that she believed she was. They now say she's ranked 15, but she already saw herself ranked 15 when they ranked her 934. So she just played at the level she already knew she was because she didn't allow their rank to become her rank. I'm trying to help an underdog. The worst thing an underdog can do is call itself an underdog. I don't care what I don't have. I'm more than a conqueror. I don't care what I don't have. With Jesus, all things are possible. I don't care what I don't have. As long as I've got God with me, it's more than the world against me. I don't care what I don't have. You can call me an underdog, but I already know I'm the top dog. Because with Christ, I can do anything I put my mind to. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm winning. Look at somebody else, tell them, I'm winning, I'm winning. Standing all over the church. I'm winning, I'm winning. Don't matter what you rank me, I'm winning. Don't matter how you